I think my favourite part of your story was when you converted the miles to kilometres for our benefit.
Yeah, trying to. So I was thinking about what's big. I can't say centimetres. It's like fucking 800
centimetres. Are pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that depends on what you measure.
Don't tell my wife any different.
hey, let's go!
Brits in the end zone.
Come on, let's go!
Hello, an extra special edition of Brits in the End Zone today because we are literally joined by someone who has played the sport of NFL, and I'm not even joking, he's done it pretty well. He's won a Super Bowl. Can you believe this, guys? JP?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. We're so excited.
Charles has been so excited all day.
It's pretty crazy.
Let's cut any crap here. Let's go straight to the introductions. I'm joined by none other than the Goose, Tony Siragusa. Hello, Tony.
How you guys doing, man?
We're all the good for seeing
That's
you.
That's a hell of an introduction. Okay. You just blew me away. I mean, that was awesome.
Do you not get that every time you walk into a room?
Brits, I got to do a voiceover for you guys. Brits in the end zone!
Wow, you know, well, like that's the intro to every podcast now.
Save that down. I'm pleased I spent hours doing that jingle a few weeks ago, so that's a complete waste of time now, and that's great. Tony, thanks for being on the show. How come you're in London? It's pretty obvious. We'll talk about it later, but do you want to give us a little
doing a little, you know, I've been in London a bunch of times. I did three games here for Fox, and now I'm working with the next generation, Yahoo Sports. And you know they're streaming the game this week.
I feel like I've been told that apparently, if you live in the States, it's the only place you can watch the game is on Yahoo.
Yeah, that's the only place. I mean,
you're not going to believe how much I'm being paid to say that. That's awesome. More than you're getting paid, Tony.
Get on there. Yeah, I got water. That was good. I'm looking forward to the Chinese food. I mean, when's that coming?
Well, zing. Good thing to come to those.
Oh, okay. All right.
It will come. So we kind of shouldn't really need to introduce you, but I'm going to give a quick intro from.
Okay, let's see what I've done.
Maybe I'm probably going to get this all wrong. So don't punch me.
I'll edit.
If you punch me, I will literally die right here. So you have won a Super Bowl. Let's just start with that. That's pretty big. You got your ring on you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think I should wear it during the pod.
Oh my God.
Oh well, we're actually looking at it.
That's the Super Bowl ring.
Yeah. Jesus.
That's insane.
Oh, now listen, just to let you guys know, you know, when you put this on, you get a lot better looking. And in your trousers, things grow.
Oh my God.
You become
like
a real man, like crazy.
Just everything looks tighter for it.
Can someone just get rid of my wedding ring and I'll just replace it with this?
You might be able to fit two fingers in there.
Yeah, I mean,
what are you saying? You got to be careful, mate.
That is extremely large.
Anyway, let's not just to stare at that. So you've won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
You have played for the Colts. Is that correct?
For seven years.
And then you won the Super Bowl with the Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens,
against the Giants.
I'm not listening to anything here. I'm just staring at this ring, and it is incredible.
It is pretty insane.
Do you pass it around? Little show and tell.
So you take that everywhere you go. If that was me, that would be in a safe somewhere.
You're not
going to steal it from.
It's true, actually.
Yeah. When I'm doing football stuff, I take it. But you know, when I first got it, what was pretty cool is, you know, they gave it to us at the stadium, and I put it on and didn't take it off for a year. Then after a year, I took it off, and because you know it draws a lot of attention. You know, which is, you know, sometimes, you know, sometimes if you're single or if, you know, you're going out with the guys or something and you want to draw attention, it's pretty, you know, it's awesome, you know, but, you know, when you get married and you know, different things are happening, you sort of, you know, you don't want people looking at you, know, you're trying to hide a little bit, you know, because, you know, next thing you know, you're picking your nose and you're on Facebook, you know, and Instagram and people are all over, you know.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
Sure. I feel that if I had that Super Bowl ring, I'd get everything kind of the same. I'd get my toaster to be the imprint of this ring.
Yeah.
Everything.
What on earth are you talking about?
I'd walk around. As a matter of fact, I had a couple guys that asked me to actually get the ring and like put an imprint on their forehead.
You know, just like I went for toast, he goes for forehead.
Yeah. I mean, if you're offering, Greenie, I'm sure we'll...
Yeah, we'll get that. We'll do that.
There'll be a point in this episode where you'll want to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Also, I feel if you're carrying that much bling, most people would be kind of worried about getting mugged. But I mean, that's certainly, I'm sure, something
I'm
you don't have
hoping to
worry
about. Mugged. I haven't hit anybody in 15 years. I'm not going to go and smack the shit out of somebody. So, just to let you guys know.
There we go. That's, if anyone sees Tony on Sunday,
I'm glad I'm
have
two
a go.
Seats away. Just
be nice.
Okay. Talking of hits, who was the best person to hit Who is that person that you are just, I just gotta beat the shit out of this guy on pitch?
Any quarterback.
Any quarterback.
Was there a favorite?
Yeah, come on.
Them guys get all the girls, get all the money, spoil little bitches, you know?
Yeah, you need to
be
shining
a lesson. Hit those guys, it's just nice, you know?
Was there one that you knew would be, like, shitting themselves to face you?
Intimidation, yeah. Back when I played, maybe, 15 years ago, intimidation was part of the game. But yeah. I think all the rules that they've put in now and, coming across the middle and defenseless receiver, you know, if a guy gets touched, a receiver gets touched, it rains flat. Back in the day, it was nice seeing a guy lose a couple teeth. it's a man's game. This ain't tennis.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's not tennis, no. We can't confirm that.
Yeah.
As an exclusive on this podcast.
Is there any quarterback in today's game that you feel like needs a, you would love to just be? Just pound them into the ground.
I mean, what's crazy is sort of the position that I played with the Ravens. The inside big guy taking two on, playing the run, is almost like a dinosaur. It's almost like the fullback position. Mm-hmm. The fullback. If a lot of people don't know, there's the running back, the guy that gets the ball, and then the guy that lines up in front of him. That's the big guy that is almost like an extra blocker.
Yeah,
that position sort of dissolved. Because now they try to get another tight end or another, person who could do a little bit more than just a fullback, because a lot of fullbacks couldn't catch.
Yeah.
My position, not a lot of teams are running anymore. If they're running, they run the zone to the outside. No one comes up the middle and tries to run it down your throat.
Yeah.
Which really
the Jacks do.
Yeah, which can really break the back of a defense. But you don't see that much. So, back when I played, the big guys were out there first and second down, and then they would bring in the pass rush guys and the dime and the nickel. I don't want to talk over. I'm trying to keep it as simple as I can, but because the pass was coming,
that's good for us.
But now it's sort of, the pass is every down, so they there's no like basic defense. It's all right. Let's go out there with our little guys and just because everything's athleticism and stuff like that, but they still get it that you can't play this game without the big guys up front, because that's where the game is won and lost. Yeah.
It's funny you say that, because this week, I'm sure we'll get into it in a bit more detail, but the games that just happened this weekend, I felt like there was a real lack of rushing talent. Shady McCoy got tiny yardage.
Right.
Ty Montgomery didn't do much.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Rushing. Zeke Elliott did nothing.
Tom Brady rushed for more yards.
Melvin Gordon. Yeah,
it's crazy, right? I mean, you get like talk about the Cowboys. They go and they make, a couple of years ago, three, 4 years ago, they draft all these offensive linemen because they want to rush have the ball and rush the ball. And it's just not happening anymore. I don't know if it's they got to, appease these receivers with these big egos and, throw it up to them, or else they'll start bitching and crying.
But now you have, the defensive tackles taking on far more, offensive roles. You had J.J. Watt catching passes like a tight end.
Sure.
You had Dontari Poe throw the touchdown. Do you look at that and think, what an offensive skill player I could have been back in the day?
Yeah, hell yeah. the first game over here, with the refrigerator. You guys are probably little
Will
kids
Perry.
Peeing in your pants when that was happening.
Still
but
am.
The fridge was like the big guy over here, right? Yeah, I'd be every now and then too, Catheters are big over in the United States. Anyway, but it's big. That's a big, a big deal, because there's if you think about it, the guys on the defensive side of the ball, especially on the line, are probably, a lot more athletic than the offensive guys. The offensive guys really, everything comes to them. Mm-hmm. They're like in an area, and then all the defensive linemen and everything comes to them. They don't have to really run. Every now and then they got to go get a linebacker when they're blocking or something, but everything really happens to them. Where a defensive guy has to go to them, beat them, and then run to the guy with the ball who's twice as fast as him. So it's a lot of angles and a lot of, different techniques that you got to know. So, you can't be surprised when you see defensive linemen going on the offensive side of the ball and being able to catch and run and do a lot of more different things than offensive linemen could.
Cool. I think the temptation is here for us just to ask you questions.
Yeah,
what we're
going out, man.
What we're going to do is I'm definitely going to ask you.
Shower with 80 guys, left for 10 minutes.
we'll get into the showers and definitely maybe a bit of The Sopranos later, because that's definitely some of our favorite shows.
Yeah,
Sopranos,
sure.
We're gonna kick off as we normally do, and we'll just get you in on all the questions, which is we ask people on Twitter questions and we pick the best one of the week. And this week that's come from Fraser Robertson, who asks, what do you think football, so that's football over here in the UK, or soccer as you would call it, can learn from the NFL? I'm going to kick off with my answer, which I think is a little bit relevant based on what you were just saying. And for me...
Is it showering?
We need to improve the showers, the shower system. What I think it is the, like you were saying earlier about the big hits, the thing that annoys me the most about football in the UK is the way that they are being paid millions of pounds. They're some of the best athletes in the world and they roll around on the floor when they get touched like babies. And that does my head in. Whereas, in other sports and certainly in NFL, there's a sense of pride. If you get hit, you want to get back up and show that it didn't affect you. So for me, that's one thing I would love just to see players, unless they were seriously injured, just get back up and carry on, because that does my head in. Yeah, I think we can all agree with that.
Did you hear about it the other day? There was a footballer, Asensio for Real Madrid, and he missed the game because he shaved his leg and he got an infected pimple.
Yeah. What would happen in the
NFL? Would that happen back in the day?
No.
There'd be no shaving of legs.
Infected pimple?
He'd be cut immediately.
Listen, I'd bring him right to my... veterinarian and get him castrated like a dog. You fucking kidding? Really?
Yeah, that's happened. I play for Real Madrid. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's crazy. Greeny, what would you say? What can football learn from NFL?
I mean, it's got to be tailgating. So I've been to a few pre-games at the Qualcomm for San Diego. I went to the Cardinals a few years ago. And the way you get a caravan, you're sitting out there, you're drinking for hours, you're playing a bit of cornhole, you're eating great meat. I didn't know anyone.
In the showers.
I turned up, I didn't know anyone, and you got this random people saying, here, have my food. And we're like, yes, creepy old man, I'll eat some.
Yeah. I'll marry
your daughter.
That's something very different, Green.
Still getting a grips with it. But in Britain, we have it backwards. We turn up to games,
You can't drink a beer if you can see the pitch. Is that true?
You don't have to drink in view of the pitch, which is just
very
madness.
Different culture.
Yeah. It's, I would suggest, people from over here in Europe, if you're going to go see a game, obviously, Wembley's a great stadium, but it is completely different when you go see it in the United States, where it's been going on for so long, because tailgate is such a huge part of the game.
Yeah.
You would probably get, majority of the stadiums hold, 60, 70,000 people. But if you were to go and really count the people that are in the surrounding parking lots in the area, it would be more like 150,000 to 200,000 because they stay out there. They have different, the satellite dish and Yahoo they can go and stream the games on.
Was so seamless, the way you slipped that in there.
Right. Well, what was that? I don't know. Things like that, because people take pride. It's a generation. You get the fathers that, like certain teams, and then they bring their sons and daughters and the parents, and everybody gets involved. And then there's the competition. As competitive as it is on the football field, it's just as competitive in the parking lots with the food.
Yeah.
And different places, it's...
Charles is right. He's thinking, this could be a competition I could win.
Catastrophically different.
Maybe not against Tony, but...
Yeah. You go to New York and, they're making... Or Philly, they're making cheesesteaks and sausage and chili and all that kind of stuff. And then you go to San Francisco and they're drinking wine and they got all kinds of cheeses and, and they got barbecue. Well,
that sounds different experiences.
Yeah, every place is really different.
Where's the best place in America to play football?
Nowadays, back in, 10 years ago, there was just as much action in some of the stadiums of fights in the stands than there were on the field. And now it's sort of, the ticket prices have gotten so ridiculous. But now, you get the sushi eaters that are going to the games. They don't know anything about the game. And the real fans are at home or in the parking lot. But
approaching young British guys and offering them food.
Yeah, why not?
I think we have the same saying over here with the prawn sandwich brigade is the people who have the really nice seats.
It's just priced out this the regular guys.
Yeah. That's what they call it over here.
It's not the diehard people.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
They live and die. They're priced out.
Because some people, their team loses for the week and they have the most miserable week ever. They're just grumpy all week, But probably the nicest stadium, I would say, would be the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Jerry Jones does everything over the top, obviously. I like the Ravens Stadium, which you guys are going to.
Yeah,
we're
very excited about that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to tailgating.
Yeah, that's going to be a great time. You should really go. And when you guys decide you're going to go there, you give me a call. I'll get one of my guys to get a golf cart and bring you around and show you some stuff. You guys would really like it.
That would be awesome.
I just did that this past Sunday. But you know, every stadium is a little bit different, and you know, there's new ones going up all the time. I think the Raiders are going to have some fun in Las Vegas when that goes.
Oh, goes.
You know, there's going to be hookers everywhere. It's going to be, you know, nice for you guys. You know, guys like yourselves.
Horrible.
You know, it's always a delight, but. It's quite a different experience. It's almost like if Europeans from here went over and saw a soccer game over in the United States. It's different. It's the game is still the same game, but the passion isn't there because it really doesn't have the foundation and the years of, you know, people being super diehards that it does here. You know, when the World Cup was over, I went to a couple World Cup games and I, you know, got to catch a couple games over here back in the day, and it's completely different. So, you know, you got to learn. You got to learn a little bit. It's almost like, you know, they're still doing the wave here. They haven't done the wave in 15 years in the United States, you know, in the stadium.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, to anyone going on Sunday, don't do the wave.
Yeah, don't do the wave.
Sit down and protest.
Right. I'm going to take a picture of you waving. You're definitely going
to
do it.
I'd like to see all football team, football players, I'd like to see them take part in, like, a combine style.
So, that would be good.
Although we don't have like a draft system here, I'd just like all current players to take part in a combine just to see who like the most athletically gifted players are and kind of just match them up against each other.
Right. That's true.
Failing the combine, I'd quite like to also see, you know what they do at the Pro Bowl where they play different events?
Like the accuracy event.
So I'd like to see, you know, like a few 100-meter races between some of the like fastest players, or like a dodgeball style.
Who would win dodgeball in the Premier League?
Oh, God, that's tough.
Dodgeball with feet, though. So you'd just be kicking the ball instead of throwing it.
I can't think of any players now. I'm just
staring at Tony.
I'm just basically looking at his arms. bigger than my whole body. But anyway, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Charles, what are you changing?
I like the fact that they have the salary cap in NFL. I think that, in theory, even though the Patriots do tend to win most years, it keeps teams within sight of each other. You can't just, like in football, we have Man United, Man City, Chelsea is like, they have all the money, they can afford to buy all the players, and they leave, and they always finish right near the top. And I feel like if there was some sort of salary cap to even it out, that's something that football or soccer could.
So I played, and that's a pretty good point because you know I was in the league before free agency, before the salary cap. You know, you free agency gave you the opportunity to go to a different team, or you know, have the opportunity to go somewhere else. Before that, you had the team had your rights, and that's it. They wouldn't let you go.
Yeah.
And I think it really leveled out the playing field. You know, you're seeing a lot of teams, you know, with a lot of great players. I mean, look at Jacksonville. Jacksonville, you know, 10, 15 years ago was horrible.
Yeah.
You know, they had that one run when they first came in the league. You know, getting into the playoffs. And then it's just been a drought. And now, you know, with being able to spend the same money as everybody else and, you know, getting all the players, and now they're competing, which is very impressive. This is going to be one of the better games, I think, that you guys have seen coming over here to London with the Ravens and Jacksonville. They're both pretty good teams, good
defenses, very
physical teams, which is impressive.
We should fast forward to that. We were going to talk about that later. Let's just talk about that now. So, obviously, the game is this Sunday at Wembley. So, who of us are actually going? So, Greeny and Charles are going, and then I think Yahoo are probably going to hook me and JP up some tickets. But we've all obviously been to quite a few.
You're going to be playing. They didn't tell you. You've got a helmet.
I mean, look at me.
You're going to be the cheer.
You're going to be the T for the kicker.
what position would you have me play, Tony, looking at me? Come on.
Water boy.
I'd
be a trainer.
I'll take it.
You can be the Jags' only wide receiver, I think.
So, what are you? You're, what, a buck 40?
I've no idea what I am in bucks. I'm kind of like 10 and a half stone. What does that make me? Anyone know?
10 and a half stones?
Yeah. So that's about 150.
About
150.
Yeah.
5'10 and a half.
Yeah.
Agile.
You could be the holder.
Good hand eye coordination. Good in the pocket. You know, good under center.
Good in whose pocket?
Yeah. Maybe if you can kick, that would be the kicker. Even the kickers are double your size. I don't know. Yeah, that's
to be fair, we saw Stephon Diggs at an NFL UK forum, and he was surprisingly small. You kind of when the wide receivers are wearing their pads, they look obviously a lot bigger. And he was so slight, I kind of thought, how the hell does he take those hits and not break?
Well, he doesn't take any hits.
Yeah, that's
you know what I'm
so
saying?
Fast,
they almost have like glass balls around them, you know, like they do quarterbacks. You know, you can't go near a quarterback. If you fall and you hit a shoelace, it's 15 yards. It's like, you know, so they protect them extremely well. But it would be always, you know, I always wanted to do that when I was playing. I always wanted to go and, you know, make people like I'm rushing the kick and just take the kicker out. Because a lot of teams didn't have backup kickers.
That's a good tactic. Just annihilate
15 yards. Hey, who cares?
And they miss every kick for the rest of the game.
So Sunday, looking ahead, so we've got the Jags who have won and lost. They're 1-1. The Ravens who are 2-0, so they've won both their games. Who's going to win this one? Charles, who have you got? Obviously, you're a Jags fan.
I'm going to hope that the Jags can win. I think they can. Their defense is really good. Bortles was...
Is it?
Yes, it is.
The last game against the Titans.
I mean, the thing is with the last game, at halftime, it was 6-3. They played really well defensively, but when the offense gets three and outs every single time, the defense can't withstand being on the field the whole game. And something's got to give. And I think that's what happened at the weekend. And the Titans are quite good.
Do they beat the Ravens?
I think they do. The Ravens got a couple of injuries. Brandon Williams,
the nose tackle.
Yeah, so the Tony of our current time.
Yeah, he's a little banged up.
He's banged up. And
did you play nose tackle?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And the guard Yander, he's out for the season, I think. Mm-hmm. So
good research, Charles.
Hopefully, Calais Campbell can abuse that. And you know, he got four sacks in week one. I'm not hoping for the same, but you know. I think they can make some big plays.
Greeny, a less biased view. Are they going to win, man?
The Ravens' defense just looks so good so far. It's going to be really challenging for the Jags, especially without any wide receivers out there. A-Rob's done for the season. I'd expect it to be quite close. I've got a theory of that. There's not going to be a lot of. There's never a lot of rushing yards on an English style pitch.
Why is that?
It's a different turf. I think they're really challenged to get the turn in the same way. They're going to rely on a lot of short passes. I think it's going to be a bit of a dirty game.
Didn't you tell a story of like one of the first games you went to? Adrian Peterson rushed for like 60-yard touchdown.
Adrian Peterson in his pomp was one of the best ever. So he's a freak. LaDainian Tomlinson also got 160 yards total. Back in 2008. So
these guys
apart, and that's
elite
the same reason.
Apart.
Same
add,
reason.
Add Fournette into that category, obviously.
Well, absolutely not. But that's the same reason why the Chargers now playing in the StubHub Center. I think Gordon's going to struggle to get a lot of yards at home.
Okay, Tony, you tell us who's going to win the game.
I want to hear all you guys first.
Oh, JP, we haven't asked JP. Sorry.
To your right
you're to
today.
My right now. I just completely forget about you. Sorry, JP, tell us.
I agree a lot with what Greeny was saying. I think it's going to be a game of two very good defences, two quarterbacks who are missing some weapons and are going to find it hard to get down the field. So I think it's going to be a pretty tight game, but the Ravens' defence, I think, are going to be on top and...
Okay,
get
so Ravens
very
are going to take
win.
It.
You're both wrong. That's bizarre.
You can see into the future. Yeah. I'm going to say the Ravens will win, if only to annoy Charles.
You just don't want to get hit
so
by
So I think
Tony.
Charles should really go, since he's the only one that's picking the Ravens that I've used for. You know, the there should be a... Yeah. I mean, the Jags. There should be sort of a bet on here.
Yeah.
Oh. Like the loser has to go and streak down the street or something like that.
But, I mean, I
don't want to see that.
I tend to do that anyway. But
Well, we got to come up with something different. Yeah. There's got to be something different, that, you know.
Well, I'm sure
it's got to be something that we want Charles to do as well. I'm not sure that that's what we.
You guys got to come up with something.
Can we wax his chest on the camera?
God. Yeah,
yeah, live on the next podcast.
How about his eyebrows? Let's wax his eyebrows.
Let's do it all. wax him head to toe.
You've got a lot of confidence in the Jags, so you don't want to sign up to this?
I mean, it's mainly on hope rather than
he's
actual...
writing down now on his paper Ravens by 7.
Bortles will. I've suddenly put an extra couple of interceptions to Bortles, and it just means the Ravens win on the
last minute, did it?
The last minute kick. I do like my bushy eyebrows.
I mean, listen, I think the Jaguars have a good defense. I think offensively they're struggling a little bit with weapons. Obviously, you guys already mentioned that, but the Ravens just they haven't been over here. They're coming over on Thursday. The Jags, I think, are coming over here tomorrow. Thursday. Oh, they're coming off Thursday too. I thought they were coming out because I remember Detroit came in early and had a little bit too much fun. They got blown out, and the coach got fired a couple weeks later. But anyway.
That was a great game. That was against the Falcons.
No, that's a different game.
Okay, sorry. My bad.
So I don't know. I think the Ravens you know, I think they win this pretty easily. I really I mean, it's you know, I just think they're focused in, just watching them. You know, they have some depth at offensive line. You know, they have some injuries. I think that they've played in big games, so the traveling thing really doesn't make a big difference to them. They're dominant. They're taking chances. I like John Harbaugh last week. He has 5 seconds left in the first half. They go all the way down. They're on the 3-yard line. Me, I'm thinking, all right, he's going to kick, put three up. You know, now, you know, it's 14-7. Now it's going to be, you know, get the 3 extra points. Instead, he just goes for the spike in the heart and puts the ball, you know, up in the air. You know, Flacco goes and throws a nice pass to the end zone, and now it's 21. You know, instead of 17, and
that was against the Browns.
Yeah, so. but still, I mean, you know, that's a huge, you know, momentum swing going into the knowing that you have no timeouts. It's the last play of the first half. You know, the momentum could either go positive if you get it, and if you don't get it now, you know, a little bit of momentum on the Browns side.
Hopefully, they try that on Sunday, and Jalen Ramsey just goes up the other end.
Yeah, listen, it could happen. I mean, it could definitely happen, but I think that. I don't think it's gonna happen.
No, I agree. I mean, I
think you're gonna be the only guy streaking around.
it'll be close, but you know, the Jags really were kind of shown up on this weekend, and
you've changed your team, Charles.
Again, I think we can win. I think we can, and. But it's going to be a very close game. It won't be.
You seem like you're on the fence now.
It'll be a one-score game.
We can win.
You'll see Charles in a Ravens jersey.
We're going to kick their ass. You got to get a little
attitude.
We're
going to smash them.
We're going to kick their ass. That's what we're going to do.
We're going to smack their bosses.
We're going to smack their titties until they're red, mate.
Yeah. He's going through the stages of grief. He's had depression.
Is there enough of a home advantage for the Jags coming to Wembley? Is there enough support for them, or is it just a load of fans? Like, you know, I'm an Eagles fan. You've got JP's a Browns fan. Green's a Chargers fan. We're all
whoa. Let's reverse though. Go backwards.
JP's a Browns fan.
JP, you just love torture. Or what?
We should tell you the story of this.
I'm a Tottenham Hotspur fan.
Basically, as we started the podcast, us three had teams, and JP had always been a fan of NFL, but had never had a team.
So you guys gave him the Browns.
We put it to Twitter, and we did a Twitter poll, and of course. Everyone on Twitter maybe support the Browns, but he's gone with it.
I'm all in.
It's our fans hate right. JP basically.
Understand.
Somebody's got to be punishment.
But do you know what I mean? Is there enough of an advantage? And what's it like in the States? Do people feel like it's really unfair on the teams who are coming over and seeing this as a home game, or have the Jags kind of been built up enough in the UK? Do we think now to make it, you know, it is fair enough that this counts as a home game?
No, they don't think that at all.
No, I'm sure.
No,
they don't.
Think it's a level playing field. You know, because you have so many things going on. You know, it's almost a disadvantage, you know, when San Diego, you know, talking about them, what was it, last year that they came all the way over? Or is it 2 years
ago? No, 2008 was the last time they came.
Really? But it was, you know, when the West Coast teams come over, it's, I mean, you're talking about 12-hour flights.
Yeah, the Rams were here last year.
Oh, Rams, that's it. The Rams were here. So it's, you know, I think that, you know, the bookies all look at that, you know, with the time change but. You know, the East Coast teams, it's pretty even playing field, I think, you know.
Yeah, I guess because of the home teams, they just have to do a bit more publicity. They have to do more interviews, and that's probably a bit more draining. The other team can just go for little tea parties or whatever else you do here.
Yeah, tea parties. There's Ravens out doing tea parties right now, do you reckon?
Johnny Hecker, last year for the Rams punter, he had a little tea party.
Well, he's a punter, though. So
That's great.
We're all punters. Okay, moving on. Charles, have you got a quick roundup of the news for our listeners of what's happened in the past week or so? Or have you just been put off by a Super Bowl winner being in front of you? You have nothing to say.
That is the breaking news.
Go on,
quick roundup.
I mean, we mentioned a couple of the injuries for the game coming up is that Brandon Williams might be out. Yander's out for the season, potentially. Greg Olsen broke his foot. That's quite big for fantasy. You know, a lot of people took him quite early, so got to scour the waiver wire for a replacement. But and also it looks like Ezekiel Elliott might be now playing for the whole season. I mean, although after last weekend, this weekend just gone.
Good attorneys in New York.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, he's done well. Yeah. He's done well this year. You know, who knows what happens next year? But it looks like he's playing the rest of the season, and so that's quite big.
So you guys got a fantasy league, right, between you guys?
Oh, I mean, yeah,
we do. Yeah,
because I really want to ask you guys some questions about that. Like, who'd you guys pick first? And your whole strategies. I mean,
well, yeah. Charles is the man who does more research on NFL fantasy than anyone I know.
Really,
so Charles, you maybe yeah, could
I did
kick
about
that off.
I did about 70 mock drafts, and then when it came, when it came to the actual draft,
it all went to
crap, and everyone the player because I think we drafted just after the Ezekiel Elliott ban got put in, so he went from third. Well, everyone thought he'd go third, and then suddenly he's out, and everything went wrong. But I ended up taking Ezekiel Elliott in the second round, and to everyone's, you know, jibing and having a go at me, but, you know, it looks like I've got some good value.
Took a shot.
Devonta Freeman. Got him at the end of the first round, and Ezekiel at the beginning of the second.
Who's your first round, Greenie?
Yeah, no, so I went Bell. I was second pick. Thrilled with that after the, especially after the David Johnson injury.
Yeah.
Then second, back in the second, I got Jay Ajayi, who looks great so far.
The Brett.
For the Dolphins. And yeah. then third round, I got Todd Gurley. So I'm loving my trio.
It's going annoyingly well at the moment. JP?
Well, you know, 2-0.
I was picking 10th out of 10 people, so I was on the turn, and I took Melvin Gordon and AJ Green, which,
okay.
I mean, if the Bengals can start actually playing some offense, that would be quite useful, but no, pretty happy with those
I've made a few trades in a couple of leagues for AJ Green. I think people are a lot quite low on him.
Well, they've changed their offensive coordinator
and he can't, you know, they haven't thrown any touchdowns, and they played against the Ravens and against the Texans, two of the best defenses. It can't really get much worse, so I think buying low on AJ Green,
struggling, throw the ball to your good players. Yeah. And AJ Green is by far...
No one took Julio Jones, I mean...
Well, he went. It's not a four-man league.
I was going to say, man.
Yeah, Tony, Charles there just mentioned that the Bengals haven't thrown a touchdown in the first two games, but in your Super Bowl winning season, you guys didn't throw a touchdown for about five games, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Getting up in your face a bit now.
Do you remember who our quarterback was?
Well, it became Trent Dilfer after the about the seventh game.
Do you know who it was starting off?
Jim Harbaugh?
No. I do, but I don't.
Same name as me, but not
Tony.
Tony.
Big Tony.
Big Tony.
Little Tony.
Tony Banks.
Tony Banks.
You remember him? Tony Banks was our quarterback. And then Trent Dilfer came in and filled in for him. And
after the Tennessee game.
There was a five-game run, and we wound up winning three of those five games. You know, with defense and special teams. And,
Don't you hold the record that season for the fewest points against in a 16-team season?
Yes, we do.
And that's incredible. So
yeah, a lot of shutouts. We had, you were talking earlier about, you know, it's tough when your offense goes three and out all the time. Well, I lived it. You know?
it kind of sounds like the Broncos from a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
like,
similar comparison.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not
didn't
really.
Have Peyton Manning.
They were, you know, close, but not really. You know,
they weren't the Ravens.
So there's no Tony.
Is AJ McCarron the Trent Dilfer for the Bengals? Can they pick it up, make it to the playoffs?
They're not going to drop Dalton.
You know, Marvin Lewis was my defense coordinator, who is the head coach of the Bengals for a long time. And spoke with him a couple weeks ago. They just have, you know, they're sort of, I would say, in a rebuilding stage. You know, a lot of their players, you know, they've gotten, you know, off. They cleared a lot of room on their salary cap. Yeah. So, you know, they have to go and you know, sometimes you get into a season where you have to sort of look towards next year. Fact, you know, not saying that things can happen because all of a sudden a couple people in their division get hurt or something like that. You never know what happens. Or, you know, a quarterback pops up, or, you know, an injury happens, and next thing you know, your third-string quarterback comes out to be an unbelievable player.
Well, also, I don't know if you spoke to him about it when you spoke to him, but Joe Mixon they drafted, and they hardly really used him in the first two games. And out of college, obviously, the whole thing behind him getting drafted in the second round is with hitting a woman. Right. That's all. But his ability is, you know, apparently a lot of people think
he's got a great right hook. Smacking the shit out of him.
Yeah, he was the first round draft in the boxing as well.
You know, the one thing, you know, you guys got to understand is, I think, and people listening to your podcast about American football, you know, you go from high school playing, you know, high school football, you know, to college, and you say Division One, which is the highest level in college, is a huge jump. Like it's, you know, if you were to go in, you know, it's a giant jump. But going from, you know, the best football in college to the NFL, is is miles, you know, kilometers, millions of kilometers. It's such a big jump. And a lot of guys, you know, even though they're great college players, they get there and they can't really handle the pressure, because in college, you know, week in and week out, you're playing good players, but there's weaknesses on every college team. Yeah. You know, they don't have 22 unbelievable players at every position. When you get to the NFL, there's every minimal mistake you make is, you know, enhanced so huge that you're really, you know, you could lose confidence in a second. And confidence is everything. And you need to really go and believe in yourself. And that's why, you know, you get a lot of these players, you know, they're sort of like, you know, like a sign autograph. I don't sign, you know, they become, and they have to believe that they are godly in order to keep that confidence level, which, you know, I don't believe in all the time. You know, I tried to, you know, when I was on the field, I was a certain person. And when I was off the field, I was a different person. But a lot of guys don't have that switch, and they struggle when they get out of the game, you know. And as for, you know, we talk about, you know, a lot of NFL players getting in trouble with, you know, aggression and trying to control that. You know, I'm not sticking up for that, because, listen, I don't think you should hit anybody. You know, obviously if somebody hits you, then you have all the right to go and defend yourself. But, you know, you have to remember, these guys, it's like unlike any other sport. You know, we are trained from when we're little kids all the way up to when we're adults. If somebody attacks you or goes after you, you know, 9 times out of 10, and I'm sure, not saying that's a bad thing, people are going to turn and run. You know, if a guy's coming at you with a knife, I don't know you guys, but I think you're going to run. Like, yeah. Me, if a guy's coming,
I think you made
an
assumption there.
You know, if a guy's coming at me, you know, I'm looking like I'm trained to go after that guy. You know, like you're trained to go and inflict pain not only on other people but yourself. So it's hard to go and shut that off sometimes. That's why a lot of these guys get in trouble.
It's a fair point, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of good to hear that from if we can look it from the outside.
But yeah, to, you know, it's hard to judge. You know, it's easy to judge a person, but not, you know, it's tough to judge people, you know, until you really understand the whole concept of what they do. You know, it's almost like you have to be in it to understand it, you know. But I'm not. I don't want to get mislead people and say that I'm condoning saying, hey, listen, you know, this is the right thing to do. But, you know, if you see an NFL player, or, you know, don't piss them off. Like, you know what I'm saying? Don't go over and antagonize them. And we do get antagonized a lot. Like, I've been in the bars.
I hope you're not hinting that we're antagonizing.
No. I mean, you get any closer, I'm gonna knock you the shit out of you. But, you know, I've been in a bar where I've ordered a beer and the guys put it down. I went in my pocket to go pay, and the guy walked up and says, "Oh, you're Tony." Said, "Yeah." And he grabbed my beer and chugged it down. Now I was like, gritting your teeth, because, you know, he wants you to hit him, and you have to go and control yourself. But you're taught not to, you know, every day. But, you know, it's a double standard. It's a double life.
I'll tell you on that point, someone who's good at that is actually Charles. I remember we were at university, and we were outside a club, and a bouncer decided to punch Charles in the face. He was fine with that. We then went all the way back to our house, and Charles was so drunk, he was like, take me back there. So we all then, as good friends, took him back there. And the bouncer then hit him in the face about 5 times. And Charles just stood there and took the hit, and then just went. We just went back home, and
he
that was
didn't,
it.
He didn't want the publicity.
What was meant to happen was we were meant to video record of them hitting me, and no one decided to actually.
I didn't want the scary bouncer to hit me, so I wasn't going to video it, but I did watch.
So they just let you get the shit beat out of you.
He was fine. It was like the Simpsons when Homer keeps getting hit, and the guy just gets tired. Yeah. The guy was, to be fair to Charles, he took the hit well. So.
That's good. I mean, listen.
There you go.
Yeah. You have fun?
Picking you up, Charles.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what life is. Fun. Life is about making stories. Yeah. You know?
That's how I got this face. So.
Yeah, looks good.
That's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it.
So let's take this time to talk about our sponsors, a little halftime break. So our sponsors are, of course, for this episode, honorary sponsors are Yahoo. But we are sponsored by Zing Zing, MSG-free Chinese. I know, Tony, you're really worried about MSG. Yeah. Well, you don't need to worry about it anymore, because we're going to deliver you some Chinese food without it.
So I'm not going to swell up like a tick?
No, you're not going
to swell up. Good. I'm looking forward to the shrimp dumplings.
There you go. We've got it all. So, if you want to use our code, it's 20 bytes for 20% off your food. We're going to give it to you for free because you're big.
But are you talking to the audience or Tony?
Tony. Oh, yeah. I should probably point that out. I'm pointing to the large man to my left who's scary. No, not at all. That is Zing Zing 20 bytes. JP, have I done that well?
Yeah.
I normally screw that up.
Okay. Sorry, I was just live tweeting
pictures of Super Bowl rings.
maybe one. Okay.
Let's use that opportunity to take a break and get our Chinese, and we'll be back in a minute. So we're about halfway through the podcast. I think it's time to let...
We're just halfway?
We're halfway, but I was about to say, I think it's about time to let you go and...
Yeah, those dumplings look so good right over there. Yeah. What's the name of that place again?
Zing Zing.
Zing Zing.
So good at that. So much better than I am. So we just want to say thanks for coming on. It's made the podcast for us. So, yeah. It's been great to have you all.
Yeah, and I'll see you guys back in the States in Maryland, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We can look forward to that. And, we look forward to catching your coverage on
Yahoo. Yeah, bring some of that Zing Zing with you, too.
We'll bring it with. Yeah,
all right.
Cool.
Yeah, cheers. No MSG, you won't swell up like a tick.
There you go. That should be their new strap.
New tagline.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Cheers, cool.
Right. Next cheers, guys. Cheers, man. Appreciate it.
Well, that was a pretty casual first half of Bites podcast, wasn't it?
Nothing special really happened.
Whatever. He's downstairs now. Thought he was going to be a lot bigger. don't know about you. Whatever.
The not size scary. Of that
Tony, matter. More like tiny.
How long have you prepared that?
God, why have I not been this amazing. Funny with him there? Jesus Christ.
Because you were scared.
I'm just so unintimidated by you guys.
I'm ripping out of the shirt.
Having Greeny next to you is slightly...
It's a bit different, mate. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Anyway, let's not
what
just...
What a man.
Very similar goatee.
If you're a Super Bowl winner or even a Super Bowl loser and you're listening, we're happy to have you on. That was good.
Any of them.
Can you just say participant instead of loser?
Yeah, participant. Whatever. Yeah. If you ain't got a ring, actually, don't bother. Okay, let's move on with the show, which I appreciate might not be as exciting as the first half, but we're going to try our best to keep the energy up. So no pressure, but let's head over to Greeny for Dan's top three.
There's absolutely no pressure at all. All right, so, you know, having the NFL in London has been an absolute spectacle, although some of the games have not really been that spectacular. We've had a
bit of a contradiction. Yeah. That's the biggest, quickest retraction I've ever heard.
That's quicker than Charles going from the Ravens to the Jags.
You know, we've had a lot of lopsided games. We've had some teams that couldn't fill their grounds back in the US, and some big players missing. You've had Megatron not there. You've had Julio Jones there.
That was in the same game.
Yeah,
it wasn't the same game. We went to it, and it's coming up.
It was a good game.
So I'm going to take you through Dan's top three. Oh, sorry, Greeny's top three games that have happened.
I always get the branding wrong of that. What are we saying? It's Greeny or Dan?
Greeny. Greeny top three.
Okay, yeah. I don't three. Like. Okay.
I think we cover a bigger audience if we just call it two names, like an umbrella brand.
Okay, yeah. Because you've got all your fans that call you Greeny and your fans that call you Dan.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay.
Exactly.
Greeny's top three.
Shout out to Greeny's mum and dad.
Yeah.
All right, so number three, we got Saints 37, Chargers 32. And that was 2008, which I quoted earlier in the pod. Unfortunate for the Chargers, but these things
happen.
Is
that when you corrected a Super Bowl champion? That was...
There was a bit of awkward silence.
He looked at you like he was willing to break, don't hit someone. He was very close
I'm
to
pretty
him.
Sure he said a minute later, you know, I'm happily hit this guy.
But, exactly.
But anyway, it was a high-scoring affair between two of the best QBs in the league. You got Drew Brees, you got Phillip Rivers. Wembley also got to see LaDainian Tomlinson rip off 160 total yards from scrimmage and a touchdown right at the end of his career, which is great to see. Brees stole the show, took it away from the Bolts with three or four touchdowns. Number two, we had the Falcons v the Lions, which was in 2014, which we all went to, didn't we?
We did.
So the Falcons scored...
I didn't.
You didn't, well.
Yeah, but you don't even turn up to the podcast sometimes, so...
So the Falcons scored three touchdowns in the first half to go 21-0 up, and we're thinking this is going to be an absolute landslide. Suddenly, the Lions managed to get it back to get back 19 points, so it's 21-19, and the final kick of the game from 43 yards out to win the game for the Lions, and the guy misses it. And we're like, game over, and then hold on, delay of game, he gets to take it again and nails it from 48 yards.
Yeah,
very bizarre.
Amazing.
The first time I watched it, I actually thought the coach had iced the kicker. But then,
I still thought that's what had happened until you just said it.
Until I had to re-research it.
Just 3 years later.
But number one, Charles's beloved Jags beating the Bills in 2015, 2 years ago. So it started a 2 year run of the Jags winning in Wembley.
And not winning elsewhere.
Yeah, they've won more games in Wembley than they have in their home field.
Is that true? That can't be true.
The last 2 years.
Well, yes. Last year, the only home game they won was at Wembley.
Oh, my word.
Actually, no, they won a game at home right at the end. They beat the Titans at the end of the season.
How depressing.
But still, that's
not this week they didn't?
Well, no, hope if that means more football in London, then that's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chad's pushing for it. Okay, Greeny. Is that Greeny's top three?
Well, I can tell you what happened in the game. So the Jags had 27 points in a row to go 27-3. Then the Bills had 28 points in a row to get it back. It was a very topsy-turvy game, full of interceptions, turnovers. But Bortles, after getting intercepted a few times, managed to go the whole length of the field, throwing a 31-yard bomb to Allen Hurns, who seems to get a touchdown every time he's in Wembley.
Wasn't that the game where the Jags decided to use Toby Gerhart four times in a row from the 1 yard line and didn't get a touchdown?
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Was Fournette when you needed him?
Yeah, I think that was his last game for the Jags. He couldn't make 1 yard in four attempts.
I think the most important thing of that event is that I had Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns in my fantasy team, and I was loving it that day.
Allen Murray's.
Well, speaking of fantasy, let's have a look at next week's games and who we think are going to be some of the best and worst performers. I think I've got this part of the show right. JP's looking at me a little confused, but now he's nodding, so everything's okay. Let's look at Thursday Night Football, where we've got the 49ers yet to win a game against the Rams, who have won and lost. Charles, who's the start in this game? We're going to have to keep you all to one line.
Carlos Hyde.
Okay,
Carlos Hyde, bold jump.
And the dud, JP?
The dud is Sammy Watkins. Goff just not looking his way.
Okay, and Greeny, who's your surprise pick?
I've gone Tavon Austin. They're going to do a few trick plays, a few end around.
Do you know how many total yards he's got this season?
Doesn't matter.
Have 26 yards.
I know, but they've tried these trick plays and it's going to work against the 49ers. You've heard it here first.
Do people own him in teams? He's on the wire.
No.
Yeah. There you go. And if you're Greeny, then if you believe in Greeny, then you should be picking him up off the wire.
So that's grand total of mum and dad again.
if that. Sunday at 6 o'clock, where most of the games are played, of course you have the Eagles, who are so unlucky not to be to be 2-0, but they have won and lost. They play the Giants. Who's the stud in that game, JP?
It's going to be Ertz.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Tight
I think
end
he's had a really strong start to the season. Ebron scored a touchdown against them on Monday Night Football, so I think Ertz is going to have a big game.
Me and Adam, we got in our fantasy league.
We do, in the listener league.
Keep going.
Greeny, who's not going to perform? Who's your dud?
Yeah, this is really a freebie, but it's Paul Perkins. I said he was a sleeper.
Still sleeping.
He's still sleeping. He may wake up eventually.
He's in a coma.
he's in a permanent coma.
Fast asleep. And Charles, who is your surprise pick?
I'm going to go for the Eagles D. They've been decent this year, but I think even with OBJ coming back, the Giants' offense, like, they haven't scored more than 20 points in like 8 or 9 games now, and Eli Manning keeps throwing interceptions. They're just not getting anything done. I think the Eagles
D is pretty strong.
You can probably pick them up in a lot of leagues and play
with
them.
With the Giants, I heard a mad stat today. Brandon Marshall, he's been in the NFL for 11 years. He's never made the playoffs.
Really?
He's never been in a playoff game.
Wow.
Is this the year?
Absolutely not.
I guess he's been at some poor teams, you know, the Bears, the Dolphins, the Jets.
Well, the Giants are 0-2, and there was a stat saying if you're 0-2, you've got a less than a 12% chance of making the playoffs.
The NFL first posted that being, if you're 2-0, you've got a 12% chance. And I was going to say that on the pod, and I realised how ridiculous that would have sounded.
Can't believe everything that you read or hear on this podcast. You got the Detroit Lions playing the Atlanta Falcons. Charles, who's the stud in this game?
I mean, not just because he's in my fantasy team, but Devonta Freeman, he's just an absolute
stud.
He's a stud. Say no more.
JP, dud?
Abdullah. The Lions just can't get any form of running game going.
Okay, and Greeny, who's your surprise fantasy pick?
So in the rematch of NFL Wembley 2013, I've gone Mohamed Sanu. I think Charles, you went him last week.
He was my surprise.
He's going to stay a surprise.
He got 11 points, and yeah, he did well.
Solid. Okay, the Colts and the Browns, two teams who have lost both their games. There's not a win to be found in these teams. JP, defend your Browns. Who's your surprise pick in this matchup?
Now, you guys might not have actually heard of this guy. But
I love that. Go on.
Rashard Higgins.
Yeah, he had a big week.
He is a Matt Harmon favourite. He had a big week last week.
Number one wide receiver.
Corey Coleman's injury. Kenny Britt not getting any looks. Rashard Higgins. Okay. Remember the name.
He might have a waiver wire claim for him coming.
and Charlesy, who's we're working backwards. Who's the dud in this game?
I think he might not necessarily be appalling, but for what you might expect against the Browns, I think Frank Gore might disappoint. I think that even though they've not been great, the Browns, I think they've been decent against the run, especially in the first game against Le'Veon Bell. And I think he might not actually do that great.
Fantastic. And Greeny, who's your stud?
I've gone Duke Johnson. I think they found a way to really use him. They're getting him the ball. Correll's struggled. So give it to the guy that's working.
Okay, makes sense. The later kickoffs on Sunday, you've got your team, the Chargers, Greeny. They're playing the Chiefs. Chargers yet to win. The Chiefs yet to lose. So is it going to continue like that? Who's your stud, Greeny?
My stud is, well, we missed out on the news that the big momentous occasion, Gates getting becoming the most amount of reception, most TDs from a tight end ever. And now they've got that out of the way. Welcome, Hunter Henry. Yeah. He's going to be the stud moving forward.
He had a really good game, a lot of targets last week.
Wait, did you say Hunter Henry is your stud?
Yeah.
Better change my surprise pick.
Do they win that game? Do the Chargers win?
I think so. I think Philip Rivers will have a good game, and he'll be able to steer the ship. I hope it doesn't come down to a kick, because that young Waku can't be doing much.
Okay, Charles, who's your dud in that game?
I think Melvin Gordon. I think he's going to have a very good. He's a good season. They're built to run the ball, but I think the Chiefs have got a good run defense, and it's going to be quite a high scoring game. I think, and they're going to be the Chiefs got thrown on a lot this week with Wentz, and you know I think he might not, you know, again might not do as well as you'd might hope.
Okay. Is it because he's running on a football turf again, the StubHub Center LA Galaxy play?
To appease Greeny, I will say that is
he's
one
probably
of
been
the,
listening to Greeny the, yeah. so much that it's in his head. Yeah, so you know, JP, do we need to come to you for your surprise, or has Greeny
no,
mentioned?
I'm going to change it up now
on the spot. That was very quick.
The
wow,
spot.
Like that.
But it's not a surprise pick as well. No. I'm going to go Keenan Allen now. The surprise
that's really thrown up in the air.
Mate, no, you picked Jordy Nelson a couple of weeks
but
ago.
The surprise being, I think he's going to have a huge game. I think Eric Berry being injured, there's Keenan Allen plays in the slot a lot. There's going to be a lot of room down the middle of the field. I can see a 2-touchdown, 100-yard game for Keenan Allen.
And the Chargers win?
No.
Chiefs have got that one, I think. Okay, and the final one that we're going to go through is going to be the Tennessee Titans against the Seattle Seahawks. Both teams have won and lost so far. JP, who's your stud in that matchup?
It's going to be Derrick Henry.
Oh, for goodness sake, I've got to change my surprise. This is going so wrong.
I mean, if DeMarco Murray's injured, they're saying he's got a bit of a hamstring injury. DeMarco Murray came in last week, had a great game.
Did you say DeMarco Murray had a great game?
Sorry, Derrick Henry came in, had a big game. We just seen Carlos Hyde run 100 yards on the Seattle defense in the first half. Derrick Henry.
Okay.
Big game.
Greeny, who's your dud?
My dud is Eric Decker. They just haven't found a way to get him the ball. They're going back to their old traditional ways, run the ball up the gut with Henry. And they're also going to throw the ball a lot to Walker. So they're missing out Decker.
Okay. Charles, you got any surprises
on
the spot?
I do. I'm going to go Tyler Lockett. I think he's kind of the forgotten man. He was injured a lot last season, and the game at the weekend, he got quite a few targets, and I think he should be in a position to make some big plays. He's, you know, he's got a lot of pace and could get a couple of touchdowns potentially.
Okay, continuing the fantasy theme, do keep your comments coming in on Twitter. We'd like to hear how everyone's getting on. If it's your first fantasy experience, how have you found the first 2 weeks? Has it been as dreadful as it has for me? or has it been as lucky as it has been for Greeny and JP? Not that I'm bitter. Let's move on to our top picks for week 3. So we've all been tasked with coming up with a quarterback, running back, wide receiver and tight end who's going to finish in the top 10. We can't pick any of the top 5 players because that would just be too obvious. So who's our quarterbacks? Really quickly going to race around the room. Charles, going to start with you. Who's your quarterback pick?
Philip Rivers.
Okay, that'll please the next man, Greeny.
That will not please me because I said Philip Rivers.
Okay. I've gone Russell Wilson.
I've gone Matt Stafford.
Okay, bit of a mix there. Running back, I'll kick us off. He's not a top 5, so I think he's allowed. Jay Ajayi, who started strong, he's playing the Jets. I like the Brit this week. Greeny?
I think he'll do well as well, but I've gone Johnny Stewart, which you might be happy about.
Me and Greeny have been locked in trade talks over Johnny Stewart. I'll soon be strapping him downstairs. That won't be about the trade talks, but that'll be about something else. Charles?
Well, I think there'll be a lot of runs in the 49ers-Rams game. I was going to go Gurley, but I think that's too easy, so I'll go Carlos Hyde.
Carlos Hyde, okay. And JP, who's your running back?
I've gone Crowell. I think he's going to have a bounce back this week.
Oh, I bloody hope so. I've got a lot of investment in that boy.
Okay, wide receivers. Back to you, JP. Who's your one this week?
Martavis Bryant, I think. Strong. Have a big game.
Even away from home.
Away from home. Can see it happening.
I'm going to go with a slight surprise pick and hopefully please JP by saying Kenny Britt. He needs a big week, so
they're not even going to play him.
Playing against the Colts. What? Why is that?
Because they hate him.
No, they're going to have to play him.
He's not been playing much.
He's playing against the Colts and he's going big. Invest big in him.
Shamed. That's like, invest all your money in... Yeah.
in Facebook and be happy.
No, I was going to say one of the companies that went down in the 90s, but
Enron. Who's your wide receiver pick?
I think Jay Cutler is going to take a few shots. One of them lands to Devontae Parker.
Okay. And Charlesy.
I mean, am I allowed to say AJ Green because of how down he's been the first 2 weeks?
No.
Okay, there we go.
Are you doing another Cooper Crabtree moment here?
No,
where you're just saying a really big guy, you cover two guys.
I just want to again point out that AJ Green is, don't write him off. It's too early to do that. A lot of people have. But I'm going to go.
That's not the section.
Okay, I'm going to stick with a man who let me down this week and say Larry Fitzgerald. I think he could have a decent game against a poor Colts secondary. No, against a poor Browns.
No, neither of those teams. But it will be a team in the NFL. I'll quickly move off of you while you
team that they're playing.
Panic ruffling with your papers. Tight end position, JP. Who's your pick this week?
I think they're playing the Cowboys, but I'm not 100% sure, Charles. Not listening to me. I think they're playing the Cowboys.
That's it. The Cowboys. Yeah, that's it. The Cowboys got destroyed by the Broncos.
By the someone.
That was it.
JP.
By
the
someone. That was it. I'm going for Jack Doyle. Tie ends do well against the Browns. So
Colts. Was that?
Yeah.
Great knowledge. I've gone Charles Clay versus the Broncos. Greeny.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's quite incestuous with a lot of overlapping picks. But I've gone my boy Eric Ebron.
Okay, and Charlesy to finish us off.
I also went Jack Doyle. I went with Benjamin Watson last week against the Browns,
too.
And he was the tight end four on most wave wires. And I think
we
Jack
only
Doyle
need
can,
the one of you, you two. Yeah. I love Charles has got one a little mind. Humble brag in there again.
I mean, that was a good shout. That was a good shout.
You haven't made many this week, so we'll allow you that one. Time to move on to our favourite part of the show, where we go through your emails, tweets, questions, your Facebook messages, your MySpace.
Just general love. General love.
All of that stuff.
Letters.
Start off with Matt Davenport. How do we think the Raiders have started? I'm going to take this one. They're the team I've bigged up this year, and they've started pretty well, haven't they? I think they've won two. Mm-hmm. They've beaten the Titans and the Jets. They've got the Redskins up next, I think.
The Crab got a hat trick last week.
Yeah, they're looking good. So, if I wasn't an Eagles fan, I might be a Raiders fan, and I'm going to stick with those boys and say they're going all the way to the Super Bowl.
So what kind of score, not score, but where do the Eagles have to be in terms of losses for you to make that move to the Raiders mid-season?
I wouldn't do it. I'm not. You know, I know that Charles has owned jerseys in the past of other teams. I know that
we know that Greeny supports a thousand different teams across four sports.
I will stick with them. I'm wearing my Donovan McNabb shirt with pride today.
He's trying to be Teflon, Charles, isn't he, by like putting it off? But no, it sticks to you.
If I was going to flip-flap, I wouldn't end up being a Jags fan.
Flip-flap. Quite fancy a flapjack. anyway, Jim Bradley's got a question that he's really waiting the answer of, and I'm going to ask you, Greeny. Of last year's divisional champs, which is the least likely to reclaim their title?
So it looks like the most competitive is my AFC West. You got the Chiefs, Broncos and Raiders all with two wins so far. It could be any of them. So I'm going to say the Chiefs will not win the title again.
Okie dokie.
I'll put the Texans out there. They're rubbish.
Well, thank you. But now I actually have a question where we do want to hear your answer, Charlesy, and that's from Patrick Jackson. And that is, which of the many industries I got so excited
are you
there.
You turning into Greeny's
commercial corner.
Which of the many injuries, we'll edit that out in post, will have to make me sound good. Which of the many injuries will have the biggest impact on a team's fortunes?
Is it because you saw Fortune 500 and you were...
oh, God.
Moving on. Charles?
I think that Greg Olsen could have a big impact.
Yeah,
he's Cam's go-to guy and has been for years. And
Johnny Stewart
with him out, it's going to be it might force them to actually make the changes they needed to in the offense. But it's going to be a tough year for Cam and the Panthers.
Okay, Fraser Robertson has a question for JP, which is: do you think it's a bad idea to have an NFL team based in London? JP, what do you think?
I do think it's a bad idea, and I hope it doesn't happen.
What?
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you later then, JP.
No.
Back to LA, are you?
No, I love having the games here, and I think they're going to go in a direction of having 8 regular season games here, which I would love, and I think it would be amazing. I don't want a team here. If you flipped it around, and imagine they took one of our football teams.
They can have Norwich, they can have...
Took one of our Premier League teams
they
and took them away.
Hole.
I mean, I wouldn't want that to happen. I'm just picturing the fans.
You're thinking of the good of the sport and the good of the fans.
I'm thinking of
what
the Jacksonville Jaguar fans and how heartbroken they would be. Actually, yeah, they might not be.
I think it's a very fair point. I agree with you.
What if there was an expansion of the NFL and there were two more teams and a landing spot was London, a landing spot was somewhere?
But I thought your point kind of contradicts the fact that we've already had two teams move within America this year.
And we said how crazy that was. I'm against them. I don't like them doing that.
But the fact that that is a part
What would
of the
we
sport,
call the sport? Would we call it football?
Quidditch.
We call it American football.
American football in London. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the only questions we had this week, which is rather disappointing. So please do pick up the questions, Twitter fans, or you've been engaging with us so nicely, but you had no questions. Maybe we've answered them all. Maybe there's no need for us to carry on.
We had a lot of questions, but I thought we'd run over, so I narrowed them down.
Oh, Greeny's narrowed them all down. So we actually had loads more. But
he adly apologises.
Greeny will go back to you personally via the medium of Facebook video or Twitter video. before we pass off, we're again without Charlie, who sadly is ill today. So we have John, our resident expert NFL engineer, with us. Does John have a question? I think it's unlikely, but John, do you? Does that mean that we can't hear you, John? Okay, I'll repeat that back for the listeners. John has just sat in the studio and just said he's forgot to record himself. So I think the answer to that is no question. So that gives us time to thank the legend that was The Goose for being on our podcast, NFL Super Bowl winner with the Ravens. That was pretty amazing.
We didn't get to have his insight into The Sopranos.
I hope he's still down for it. We'll go chat to him over some zing-zing about that. But if you want to be a guest and you have won a Super Bowl, then there's a high chance we'll let you. but yeah, thanks for listening. And hopefully you can share this episode big and wide and we can get ourselves really rich and famous. And that would just be lovely. Yeah. So I've done the lottery tonight. And if I don't win, it'll be annoying.
Remember to follow us on Twitter.
Very good, JP.
@Brits_endzone. And check out our website, BritsEndzone.com.
And remember that you can go and watch Red Zone Live with Charles in Kentish Town at his house, around a 5-minute walk from the station. I won't tell you in which direction.
And
please don't give my address away.
If you're not in the UK, you can watch the game on Yahoo.
Well done. Well, the only place I hear.
The only place you can watch it is Yahoo.
How do I get a nickname like The Goose?
If you or BBC.
Win a Super Bowl.
Have Goose kind of in your last name.
Cool. Yeah. All right, thanks everyone. Bye.
Bye.